But we'll be in Mark chapter 4 today. Before we begin, though, I wanted to ask you guys a question. It's a very simple question. It's probably one that you've heard before, but it's, are you a good listener? Are you a good listener? Do you listen well? And I'm not just talking about hearing, okay, whether you can hear something happen, but really about listening. And it's a very important skill that you guys could have, that you guys should grow in. And it gets even more important the older that you get. But I'm sure that you guys all have experiences even today where you learn that listening is super important. You know, you guys understand this. I think the classic example is maybe you're in your bedroom and you're playing video games or you're reading a book or you're doing whatever and your mom comes in and says, hey, I'm going to the grocery store. By the time I come back, I need you to do the dishes. And you say, okay, mom, I got you. I'll do that. And then 30 minutes later, however much longer it takes, you hear the door open and you're like, shoot, I know I was supposed to do something, but I cannot remember what I was supposed to do. You heard what your mom said, but you didn't listen to what she said. You didn't actually hear what she told you to do. And so she comes into your room and says, did you do what I asked you to do? And then you try to get her to say what you were supposed to do first. Maybe you did do it, but we know you didn't. Right? It was the dishes. You forgot to do the dishes. You heard her say that, but you weren't listening. A funny example, when I was in middle school, I loved playing all types of sports. My favorite sport was baseball, but in middle school, I tried out for the football team. And, you know, I like sports a lot. I play all types of sports. But when I was in middle school, I was not very tall. I was a pretty small kid. And so, you know, football is a game where some size benefits you. I did not have that, but I had heart. I wanted to play. And so I enjoyed playing. But when you're playing football and you're on the offense, you get something called a play call. That's where everyone gets into the huddle. Maybe you've seen it. Maybe if you've only seen it one time at the Super Bowl, everybody gets in a huddle. That's where they tell all the people on the team what the play is going to be. And you listen, and then you say break. And you clap, and everyone goes to the place where they're supposed to go. Well, I was in the huddle, and the quarterback called the play. And I said break, and I went to where I thought I was supposed to be, but I didn't hear anything that the quarterback had said. I didn't know what I was supposed to be doing. So I just got out there, and I was like, okay, I'm just going to run as hard as I can at somebody, and I'm sure that that'll be okay. You know, I'll probably block, and that's all. But I didn't listen to the play call, and I was nowhere where I was supposed to be. Imagine the scene. They call the snap, and I start running, and I just go to the first guy I see. And imagine if Adam is standing out there, and I run as fast as I can at Adam. The next thing I know, I'm lying on my back. Wind's knocked out of me, and I don't know what's going on. I completely missed the call. I wasn't where I was supposed to be, and I got laid out because of it. There's consequences often when you're not listening. Even though you can hear something, even though you can hear the words that come out of someone's mouth, you may not actually like understand them. And that's what we're talking about today. It's understanding is the key to listening. It's the key to good listening. And it's also knowing what to do with that thing that you just heard. With football, it's hearing the play call. And it's doing the right thing. It's going to the right place and going the route that you're supposed to go. With, you know, your mom, when she says, do the dishes, it's listening to that and understanding that and following through. She says, do the dishes, and you do the dishes before she gets home. Well, this passage today in Mark chapter 4 is going to teach us about the difference between hearing something, just hearing the words, and listening. That's responding and understanding what the words actually say. And our passage shows us how concerned Jesus is about this problem, about this truth that we need to be good listeners. It's not about listening to your mom. It's not about a sport that you play. It's about the most important thing you could ever hear, and that is the gospel. It's the word of God. Jesus is so concerned with how we hear his word, how we listen and respond to the word of salvation. And I know that most of you guys in here know that word very well. You know the gospel. You sit in here on Sundays, and you sit in here on Wednesdays, and you even go to second service. And you could tell me the gospel just as well as I could explain it to you. It's that God saves sinners, right? A holy God creates the world, and it is good. And he creates man, Adam, and Eve, and they are good. But man, Adam, and Eve, they sin against God. They do what God told them not to do. They weren't listening. And so because of that, they are separated from God. They're kicked out of the garden. And now everyone after Adam and Eve has this huge sin problem. But God is holy, and so sin needs to be punished. How? How is sin punished? Well, it's punished for eternity by us. And that's a huge problem because we can't pay the price. That's why it is eternal. But God, that's the two greatest words in all the Bible, but God, he comes and he makes a way. He gives us a solution, and that is Jesus. This big solution to our huge problem is Jesus Christ, the perfect solution. He comes and he lives the perfect life, and he goes to the cross, and he dies on the cross, and 3 days later, he rises. Because of that, God is satisfied in the punishment, is satisfied with the price that needs to be paid for sin. Jesus takes our sins and pays the price. And in that, sin and Satan and death is all defeated. And sinners are made right before a holy God. And they're called to live right. And they can be with him for eternity. This is the gospel. You guys know it well. We teach it every week here. Small groups, sermons. You guys probably hear it at school often. And it's the greatest news ever. And what a joy it is that we get to hear it every week because we get to know about this great God who saves us. But I want to ask you guys, are you hearing that? Are you hearing those words or are you listening to them? Do you understand what the words mean? When I just explained the gospel, do you understand what that means for your life? And do you respond to it, or do you just hear it, and it goes in one ear and out the other? There is no more important thing that you guys could ever hear but the gospel. And so today's big idea is this. Jesus cares about how we respond to his gospel. Jesus cares about how we respond to his gospel. How do we know this? Well, open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. We're going to be looking at the parable of the sower today, and this first point is going to be the parable. Let's read verses 1 and 2. It says this, "And he began to teach again by the sea, and such a very large crowd gathered to him that he got into a boat in the sea and sat down, and the whole crowd was by the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and was saying to them in his teaching." So in this section here, in Mark chapter 4, we see Jesus teaching a crowd, a huge crowd. And this is actually a very familiar scene to us if we're reading through the Gospel of Mark. From the very beginning, we see that Jesus is teaching. 1:15 says that he was teaching. And what is he saying? It's that the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. From the very beginning, this is the message. Repent and believe. You go to 1:21 and it says, "As they entered into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and began to teach. He would teach in the synagogues. He knew the word." In the following verse, it says that they were astonished at Jesus' teaching because he was teaching as one having authority. He knew the word and he was able to explain it in a way that no one else had before. And they could tell that what Jesus was saying was authoritative. It was true. He'd also been healing people in chapter 1, and he was still preaching. And it's still that same message of 1:15. It's repent and believe in the gospel. You continue in chapter 2, and it says that he was speaking the word to the people. You know, and then you keep going down and he's teaching to entire crowds. And he's calling his followers and his disciples to him to follow his message. So what we see in chapter 4 is super familiar to us. We know that Jesus is a teacher. And in fact, he's become so famous that he can't even teach from the land. He has to go onto a boat. And everyone on the land watches him out while he's on the boat teaching. That's how popular he had become. But in this passage, in chapter 4, things change in Jesus' teaching. We see something that we hadn't seen before in this gospel. And it's that Jesus begins teaching in parables. In parables. And this is different than what we usually see in the Gospel of Mark. In fact, this is actually the first parable in Mark and also in the other Gospels in Matthew and Luke. In Mark, before this passage, before chapter 4, we see Jesus' teaching is very straightforward. It's very simple. It's repent and believe. There's no room for, misunderstanding. And there's not much mystery or difficulty with the lesson that he's teaching. It's repent of your sin and believe in Jesus. But the people weren't getting it. The people in this gospel weren't understanding what Jesus was telling them. Some of them responded. You look at the disciples, and these people put aside everything they were doing in their life to follow this man, to follow Jesus. But others, including many interactions with the Pharisees and the people, they just didn't get it. They would hear his message, and over, they didn't understand what he was saying. The people, they actually wanted more to be healed. They wanted to get something out of Jesus because they saw this guy, and he was doing miracles, and he was healing people, and he was saving people from possession and all these things. And so they wanted some of that. They went to Jesus to get what they wanted out of him, but they weren't actually listening to the words he was saying. They weren't listening to his message. It's such a problem that in chapter 1, we actually see that he left the town he was in because the people just wanted to be healed, and he said, that's not why I came. I came to preach. I came to preach repentance, to preach the gospel. And this is where we find this parable. The parable of the sower. Jesus changes it up here. But why? Why does he do this? It's this opportunity that he has to see who was truly listening, who was truly understanding the words that were coming out of his mouth, the words that he was saying to people. They heard him all the time. These people were faithful. They were the, I go to church on Sundays, I go to church on Wednesdays, I respond in small group. Right? They were there all the time, and they heard the message each and every time Jesus spoke, but they never listened. They never understood. And so Jesus starts using parables, and throughout the rest of the gospel, he continues to use these parables. And it's a story about the truth. It's a story that illustrates a point, one that has already been told many times, repent and believe. And with the parables, you need to listen. This is the whole point. If you don't listen to these parables, if you don't understand and respond appropriately, then you're going to miss what Jesus is trying to teach. So let's read it. Let's read this parable. Verse 3. Listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. And it happened that as he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road. And the birds came and ate it up. Another seed fell on the rocky ground where it did not have much soil. Immediately it sprang up because it had no depths of soil. And after the sun rose, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And other seed fell among the thorns. And the thorns came up and choked it. And it yielded no crop. And other seeds fell into the good soil. And as they grew up and increased, they were yielding a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he was saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus wants you to know so clearly about this parable, about this lesson, that he even begins it by saying, listen, hear the words that I'm about to say. Hear what's going to come out of my mouth. And the following parable is actually very simple. It's very straightforward. You guys have probably already heard this passage before. Maybe it's in Mark or Matthew or Luke. You hear it often, and it's familiar. It would be super familiar to the people who Jesus was preaching to at the time. Jesus probably could have pointed up to the hills and shown the people about guys who were just throwing out seed, these farmers, these workers of the land. Someone throwing seed on the land there. And some of them were landing, and they would land on the sidewalk or on the path, right? And as people are walking, they would trample over the seeds, and the birds would come and pick up the seeds. And then other times you would see that there were these small little plants that were dead because they were planted in very shallow soil, and so they didn't have any roots. And other times you would see the thorns and the weeds that would grow around these seeds and around these crops. And so we see this. It's a very vivid scene, especially for the people listening. It's a little harder for us today. But maybe you know a little bit about gardening. Maybe you know a little bit about yard work. When I was in middle school and even before that and after that, my chore was to do yard work. I would spend a lot of time out in the yard. And I didn't plant any like crops or anything like that. But, you know, we have grass at my house. And, you know, when you put seed out for grass, sometimes the birds come and take it. And sometimes they just stay right on the top level of the soil, and they don't grow at all. And they're just there for a long time. Other time, they shoot up, and they dry out immediately because the sun is too hot, and they don't get enough water. And so they die. And then you have this patch of grass that's brown, right? And weeds are the worst. When I was doing yard work, weeds were the worst part of it all. Because they really got deep in the ground, and you got to pull them out. What do weeds do? They steal all of the energy from the rest of the plants. They take all of the water and the nutrients that grass needs to grow, and they take it for themselves. And they grow above the grass and block light, right? And then also, of course, some good grass grows, and you have a nice-looking lawn. But this parable is teaching us about this. It's teaching us about gardening. It's kind of silly, but what is this message? What is he trying to teach us? Well, he finishes this story, this parable, and says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Well, if you're one of those people who's been hearing Jesus preach from day one, this probably is very unfamiliar to you. You don't know what's going on. You're like, "Jesus, you were telling me to repent and believe, and now you're telling me about gardening. I don't understand." Or, "Jesus, just heal me. Just do a miracle in my life. That's what I want. I don't need to know about gardening. I know it all. I am a gardener. I'm that guy who's throwing the seeds out there," right? But obviously, Jesus is not talking about crops here. He's not talking about grass or gardening. It's a message. This is what a parable is. It's an illustration that explains a deeper truth. Jesus is a preacher. He's not a gardener. And how do the people respond? Well, do they hear or do they listen? Well, these people here we see are ones who hear the words, but they are not listening. They are not responding properly to what Jesus has taught. And this is the problem. This is our second point. The problem. Verses 10 through 13, I'll read it. "And when he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began asking him about the parables. And he was saying to them, 'To you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, everything comes in parables, so that while seeing, they may see and not perceive, and while hearing, they may hear and not understand, lest they return and be forgiven.' And he said to them, 'Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables?'" This is a huge problem. No one understands the point. Not even his disciples, those who were closest to him. This scene happens after Jesus had completed his teaching. They go, and it says he was alone with his followers and the 12. Those are the 12 disciples. And what happens at this point? After they got off the boat, back onto land, everybody had gone back to their homes, they asked Jesus, "What's going on? Why are you teaching using parables?" They ask him a question, and Matthew 13 gives us that question. It says, "Why do you speak to them in parables? Why are you teaching these people about gardening? This is so different than what you usually do." They're probably super confused, And maybe a lot of the people who were there listening to Jesus teach on the boat were frustrated that they didn't get what they wanted, that they didn't get healing, or they didn't get to be fed, or they didn't get a miracle in their life. They wanted to see these things. They wanted to see the miracles, and they wanted to be healed. Instead, they got this story about gardening. And this is Jesus's exact point. No one listens. People hear all the time. People hear week after week. Every time he teaches, people hear the words coming out of his mouth, but nobody is listening. And so that's why he changes it up. That's why he starts teaching in parables. Verse 12 says that it shows us that it's a mystery, that it's been withheld, so that while seeing, they may not see. While hearing the words, they don't understand. That's what the parables do. It's this mystery about the kingdom of God and about salvation, but those who are hearing it don't understand it. They miss the point. Nothing has changed in Jesus' preaching. The message is still the same. He's still teaching about repentance and belief in him. But the people are still not getting it. They have ears, but they're not hearing. They're not listening to the word of God. They're not listening to what Jesus has to tell them. The message is clear, but there's no response in their lives. And I think that if we're being honest in this room, we can understand this. We can hear a message every day. We can come on each Sunday and each Wednesday. We could even answer the questions that our small group leaders ask, and we can take notes during a message in big church. But we hear without understanding. We hear without response. Even the people who are closest to Jesus can miss the point. That's why these people ask this question, why his followers and the 12 disciples asked Jesus about why he's teaching in parables. They were missing the point. And so they ask this question, and what does Jesus say? He says, "Do you not understand this parable? How are you going to understand all the rest of the parables, all the rest of these things that I'm going to explain to you?" Jesus shows us here that this parable, the parable of the sower, is the number one parable. It's the key to understanding every single parable that follows. Every story, every illustration that he gives about the kingdom and about salvation following this one, if you don't understand this message, you won't understand anything else. Why? Why is it that this message specifically in Mark chapter 4 is so important? Well, it's because it's about salvation. It's about receiving God's word. Jesus' message has been preached to repent and believe. The true listener, the one who truly understands, would accept that and respond faithfully. It's about responding to the gospel of Jesus. And truly, there is nothing that is more important in our lives. And the message that we learn in Mark 4 that Jesus was teaching his disciples remains to this day. And it is for us as well. Jesus does not want you to miss out on this illustration, to miss out on what this parable means. So much so that he even clearly explains the meaning of this passage so that there's no room for error. So let's look next at our third point, the purpose. The purpose of the parable, Mark 4, 14 through 20. I'll read. "The sower sows the word. And these are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. When they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. And in a similar way, these are the ones being sown on the rocky places. Those who, when hearing the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then, when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are those being sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for anything else enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those are the ones which are sown on the good soil, they who hear the word and accept it and are bearing fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. What is Jesus' message? What is he teaching us in this parable? He explains it so clearly here. What is the seed that the sower is spreading out? It's the word. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's that very familiar message of repent and believe. And who is the sower? Well, it's Jesus. Jesus is the sower here in Mark. And still today, he is sowing the word through preachers, through parents, through pastors all over, so that people would hear the word of God and that they would respond. And this message is not stuck in the Bible. It's not stuck in this old time. It's today. It's for us. Today, the seed of the gospel is still being sown and spread. And what are these four soils that we hear about? Well, these are the hearts of those who are hearing the word. These are the hearts of those who are listening to Jesus' words, both then when he first gave the message, but even today as we read it now. We see the first soil, verse 15. This is the ones that are scattered on the road. Their heart is hard towards the gospel, and they reject it immediately. Satan comes up and snatches it. They hear the gospel. They hear about the message of salvation that Jesus preaches, that a pastor teaches on a Wednesday night. And they say, nope, not for me. That's kind of silly, and I don't need saving. I think I'm living a pretty good life, and I don't want to change it. They love their sin. They love the way that they are living, and so they say they have no need for saving. Is this you? Are you one who's sitting even now and haven't heard anything that I'm saying, and your heart is hard against the gospel, and you reject it, and you want your sin, and you want to live life the way you want? Maybe it's not. Maybe you're like the rocky soil. It says the rocky places. You hear the gospel, and you say, yes, this is amazing. I love this. This is great news. I can go to heaven. I can live in just the awesomeness of heaven forever. But the problem is that you don't have any roots. You hear the gospel, and you rejoice, and you say that this is amazing, but really deep down, there's nothing holding on. It's just outward. It just looks like it's faith. But it doesn't take root, and roots are the most important part of the plant because that's what helps the plant to grow. That's what gives the plant security, and so when things come, the roots are strong, and you don't got to worry about the plant. But the one who's planted in the rocky soil has no roots. They're not reading the word. They don't love God's word, and their heart isn't changed by it. They hear, and they don't truly understand. They just hear about the good things that could happen, that they don't have to go to hell. And when the tough times come, you know, when the affliction and the persecution, it says, come, the hardships, then they turn back. They go back to the way that they were living, back to sin, and they fall away quickly, it says. Is this you? Are you one who has responded and says that they love the gospel, that they love the good things that come from what Jesus has to say? But as soon as the tough times come, you fall away. As soon as that sin comes back, you return to it. That temptation, you fold. Maybe that's not you. Maybe this is you, the one that's sown by the thorns. This is the person who responds to the gospel favorably. It looks like they are a plant. They grow up. They have good roots, and you know they look like a plant, but what's the problem is the things around them are taking away all their energy. The things around them are taking away all the nutrients that give them strength. You know, I think we can understand this pretty well. The world is very tempting. There's a lot in the world that can draw our attention away from the gospel, away from Christ. And these are those thorns that Jesus is talking about. It's the things of the world that draw away our energy and draw away how we're supposed to live. A plant is supposed to produce fruit. And when you are giving all your nutrients away to the thorns and the weeds, you can't do that. And so even though you look on the outside like you're a plant that should be doing what it's supposed to do, you have no energy, and inside you're not alive. Maybe you see people in this world and see how well they're prospering, and so that draws you away. You're like, that guy's living pretty good. I'd like to do that. Living with Jesus is hard. You know, everyone's making fun of me at school, or I like to do this thing, and the Bible says I can't do that, right? I think we understand this. Is this your heart? Are you drawn away by the things of this world? Or maybe your heart is like the good soil. And this is my prayer for you guys. I pray that you guys would have a heart like the good soil, one who hears, who listens to the word, who doesn't just hear the words, but who responds, who understands it. Don't miss these words of Jesus. See him, see this message, see the gospel proclaimed, and believe in him. Repent of your sin. Believe in Jesus. Jesus does not want you to miss out on this amazing lesson, about this amazing truth. He cares so much about how you respond to his gospel. This is why he gives us this message, and it's why he explains it so clearly, so that there's no room for you to be like, I don't get it, or to respond in a way that is wrong. He explains it so clearly, and he's so concerned with your hearing it and your responding. He wants you to hear the words, listen to what they say, and respond accordingly. But this message is not just an opportunity for Jesus to explain what happens, but it's an opportunity for us to be instructed about how we are to respond. And maybe many of you are in here and you're like, I don't know. I don't know who, what I am. I don't know where my heart is. Sometimes I feel like I'm the good soil and I accept the gospel. And then other times I just completely reject. And sometimes it feels like there's people who are drawing me away. Or as soon as the hardship comes, I'm just like, I can't do this anymore. And you feel like all of these at once. Well, what's interesting about Jesus' lesson here is that there are only really two types of people. He talks about four soils, but there are only two responses. And everyone here is listening to the words. Everyone's hearing the words of Jesus. But how are they responding? Well, the first three types of soil, that's the one that rejects, the one that gets choked out, and the one that's the rocky soil with no roots. The end is the same for all of these plants, for all of these seeds. No matter how you get there, no fruit comes from that plant. There's no life in that plant. That plant is not alive. There is only one true response, one true believer, and that is the good soil. This is the one who hears the words of God, the words of Jesus, and responds with belief. They repent of their sins and believe in Jesus Christ. I want you guys to be the good soil. I pray that your hearts would respond in this way. Jesus is calling to you even now to repent and believe, to believe in him. Are you listening, or are you just hearing week after week? Are you listening to his words and responding to them? I pray that that would be the case. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for this amazing lesson in Mark, where we get to see about your word and how you are the one who spreads the gospel, and you, Lord, give us life. We pray that the kids in here, the students in here, would respond in faith, that they would see your call to repent and believe, the message that has been proclaimed by you from day one, repent of their sin and believe in you, and that they would hear the words, Lord, but that it would not just go through one ear and out the other, but that they would listen and respond, and that they would trust you and love you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.